You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome, one and all, whoever you are and wherever you are. I'm glad you're here at The Kevin Smith Show. And a special welcome to all of you who are joining us for the very, very first time tonight. Welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. Yesterday on the show, I showed you a photograph of my granddaughters. Those are not my only granddaughters, but those two are sisters. And I pointed out that the little one, the infant, had open-heart surgery yesterday. And I want to thank all of you who have emailed me over the past 24 hours expressing your concern for her. I talked with my son today. Those two beautiful girls belong to my eldest son. And I talked with him today, and he said that Berkeley, that's the little girl's name, seems to be recovering very, very well. So thanks to all of you for all of your very kind emails. A reminder, if you want to attend the online seminar that I'll be conducting this Sunday afternoon, you need to go over to my website and register. Only those who are registered will receive the password in order to activate the video. And so what will happen on Sunday afternoon, you'll just go to my website. You'll click on, just like you do to take in the live show, you click on one of the video buttons there, and it'll ask for a password. You put the password in, it activates the video, and you're in. A word or two about that. You need to register if you're going to, because time is running out. I've never done this seminar in the United States before. I have done this seminar elsewhere. But this is likely not only the last time I will do this seminar, this is likely the last time I will conduct any seminar. And so if you want to get in on it, you need to register. Just go to kevinsmithshow.com. I'll be sending out an email later tonight with some details. It'll be going out only to those who have registered. So if you have registered and you get up in the morning and there's no email from me about the seminar, you need to send me an email right away, immediately, and let me know you did not get it, okay? And that partially is a test to make sure that we can get the password to everyone who's registered. So that's important. For tickets to Ed Grimsley Skywatch Conference that he'll be conducting in Sedona, Arizona, go over to UFOSkywatch.com. That's UFOSkywatch.com, and you can get the tickets there. Folks sometimes send me email saying, you know, what can I do to help the show, and you know, I want to participate. And there are some things that you can do. You can recommend the show to your friends. Send them an email with our link in it, you know, kevinsmithshow.com. You can call in and participate in the shows. And then you can also click on the advertisements of our sponsors that are on our website. If you're, for instance, if you're going to be buying a bouquet of flowers for someone, Then you just go over to proflowers.com, but do it by clicking on the button that's on our website, and that helps us, okay? All right, we'll be back with some pretty interesting stuff and open line right after these messages. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're going to have some fun here tonight because we're going to get to deal with some pretty interesting things. And it's open line, so we will open up the telephone lines here in a little bit and let you participate in what we are doing. You can comment on some of the things I bring to the table, or you can bring your own to the table, all right? So this is, you've heard of BYOB? Well, this is BYOT, bring your own topic, okay? That's what we do on Open Line Live. First things first, we're dealing with some things that came in the email. And the first one is a listener, I have the name and I'm not publicizing the name, says, I was visiting a chat room last week where the moderator claimed to know you and to be your friend. And he was talking trash about you. If you want, I can give you the info on the chat room and the moderator's name. I think it stinks for someone to pretend to be your friend and then cut your throat like that. I appreciate the email. Listen, the world is full of insincere people, disingenuous people. The world is full of it. Now, you hear me say on this show that I believe in freedom of speech. And I do. Freedom of speech eventually reveals the true character of the people who are talking. I've been through this before, and I've had people that said they were my friend, and when they talked to me, you know, everything was wonderful, and then they went out and tried to destroy this show. Today, in one case, that individual who was a broadcaster is no longer in business. I didn't do it. You did. Because you listened, you heard, and you deserted. And so I appreciate the email. I know about this situation. And what this person doesn't realize is that there is someone in that chat room every night monitoring. And so I already know about this. You remember those commercials that it used to be, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature? Remember those? Well, someone who used to run information collection and analysis, it's really not nice to think you can do things and... I don't know it. I do. And it's being monitored. If it steps across the line into slander so that what we're talking about is illegal, at that point my attorney is ready to go. But as long as it's doesn't step across that line into slander, I'm not interested really in doing anything about it. I think karma takes care of those kinds of things. But thanks. I do appreciate it. Okay, now, as I said, tonight's Open Line Live here at the Rational Thinking Headquarters of Planet Earth. As is my usual practice, I have some things some interesting things that I've brought to the table just to get us started. Now, you know, when you listen to this show or if you watch this show, you hear what we talk about, you hear what the guests say, and you hear the questions that I ask the guests. And what you do not get to experience, however, and you get to call in, you know, and ask questions, but what you don't get to experience is the email I get over the next few days after a guest has been on the air. And this happens with every guest. I get email, you know, for several days after they've been on the air. But the same is true for email that comes in response to articles that I've written. And, you know, I write fairly frequently. And most of those articles are published at alienseekernews.com. I do publish articles elsewhere, but I focus most of my attention to alienseekernews.com, and they publish a fair number of my articles, for which I am tremendously grateful. I've written a couple of articles recently that were published over at Alien Seeker News, and they talk about some specific things where NASA... where there's NASA statements about Mars do not appear to line up with the photographic evidence. And I've gotten some email in response to that. Most of it's been very, very positive. However, I've gotten a couple that are kind of along these lines that I'm pretty quick to talk about NASA not being truthful, but I seem not to present any actual evidence of that. Well, nothing could be further from the truth, because if you read those articles, you will see that I present the evidence for exactly what I'm talking about. So what we're going to do here tonight, and this is not to refute what anybody has said about that. This is just to show you some of what I'm talking about. Let's put it out there. In some cases, NASA may be lying. I don't... but see, when you say that, when you say they're lying, it's a pretty strong statement. I think in some cases NASA may be not telling the whole story, and that gives it the appearance of, or makes it seem like, they are not telling the truth at all. And that's not always the case, as you're going to see here tonight. Sometimes they say something that says exactly what you would want them to say. However, they say it with language that throws a cloud in the air, and you're not really sure if they just denied something or admitted something. You'll see that tonight. All right, let's just do this. Let's just begin with the issue of oxygen on Mars. Because I say a lot of things about the conditions on Mars I think are different from what we get told. Well, let's see if there's any evidence of that. We're going to be using NASA's own evidence. That's all I'm using, is NASA's own evidence. And let's see if it matches statements that they have made. All right, so let's go over and take a look at a statement that they have about oxygen. Now, this is right off of NASA's website, and it says, and by the way, I have the link down at the bottom, and here's what it says. It says, the atmosphere of Mars contains much less oxygen than that of Earth. The O2, that's oxygen, the O2 content of the Martian atmosphere is only 0.13% compared with 21% in Earth's atmosphere. Carbon dioxide makes up 95.3% of the gas in the atmosphere of Mars. Other gases include nitrogen at 2.7%, argon at 1.6%, carbon monoxide at 0.07%, water vapor at 0.03%. Now, this is copy and paste. This is right off of NASA.gov, all right? And I underlined what they said about the percentage of the oxygen. They say it is 0.13%. So, does that square with facts? Well, I want you to listen to Dr. Harold Klein. Now, Dr. Harold Klein was the chief biologist on the 1976 Viking lander. This was one of the first science landers that we put on Mars. Here is what Dr. Harold Klein said.
What we have found, in fact, is something like 15 times as much oxygen in that atmosphere as we can account for from known sources.
All right, I want you to hear that again. This is Dr. Harold Klein commenting on what they had discovered with the Viking lander.
What we have found, in fact, is something like 15 times as much oxygen in that atmosphere as we can account for from known sources.
Okay. Now, that was 1976, right? 1976, Dr. Harold Klein says, we have found something like 15 times, not 15% more, 15 times more oxygen in the Martian atmosphere than we can account for from all known sources. All right, let's do a little bit of calculation here and see what happens to that. Now, I want you to understand that this figure of 0.13%, that's what NASA says the oxygen content is on Mars. I want you to understand that this is 2009, and today is when I copied and pasted that information. Today, this statement that I read from NASA, this statement is on their website right now. It's there today. But in 1976, Dr. Harold Klein said they had discovered 15 times more oxygen on Mars than they could account for. Now, if you, and by the way, back in 1976, they were saying that the oxygen content on Mars was 0.13%. So if you multiply 0.13% times 15, it comes out to 1.95, almost 2%. Now, you could not live on 2% oxygen content. But there is enough at that rate. There is enough to harvest it right out of the atmosphere with machines to do that. They can harvest it right out of the atmosphere, compress it, and use it for the interior of some type of dwelling of a colony or a base on Mars. But what if? Now, see, this is a big what if. I understand that this is a big what if. What if back in 1976 they already knew that 0.13% was not the accurate figure? What if they already knew that it was more like 1.95%? Well, if that was the case, because he didn't use any figures in that statement, he just said we found 15 times more oxygen than we can account for. So if they already knew that it was about, or they thought that it was about 1.95%, well, here's what we would be looking at for the oxygen content on Mars. Now, on Earth, it's 21%. But if the case was that they already knew that 0.13 was not correct, that it was, they thought it was more like 1.5, 1.95, maybe 2, then when he made that statement that it was 15 times more, you would be looking at 29.25%. You can definitely breathe that. Now, how many of you remember sitting in science class and hearing the science teacher, either in high school or in college, talk about that the red color on Mars was primarily due to oxidation? There's a lot of iron content, they would tell us, in the rocks and soil on Mars, and basically it's rust. That's what we're looking at. It's oxidation. Now, they used to teach that, and maybe they still do. Well, at 0.13%, you're not going to have a whole lot of oxidation. But at 29.25%, 29.25%, you could. And so I don't know. You know, I don't know whether it's 1.95 or if it's 29.25. I suspect that it's 1.95, but I don't know, because I don't know what NASA already knew or thought they knew in 1976. But here's what we do know for sure. We do know for sure that in 1976 we were being told that the oxygen content of the atmosphere of Mars was about 0.13%. Here we are in 2009, and we've got Dr. Harold Klein.
What we have found, in fact, is something like 15 times as much oxygen in that atmosphere as we can account for from known sources.
Okay. There you go. So we know that this information that we saw on NASA's website today, I copied that and pasted it today. What we know for sure is that the 0.13 cannot be correct. It is either 15 times that, or they already thought it was somewhere in this neighborhood of 1.95, and it's 15 times 1.95, bringing it up to 29.25, and I don't really suspect that's the case for that one. All right? Well, what about the atmospheric pressure? I talk about that a lot, and it always, I can't say it amazes me, but it interests me how many people don't know about this. So let me go through this. What about the atmospheric pressure on Mars? Well, again, from their website, it says at the surface of Mars, the atmospheric pressure is typically only about 0.10 pound per square inch. This is roughly 0.7% of the atmospheric pressure at Earth's surface. And then they go on to say that with the seasons, it changes by 20 to 30%. But here's the deal. They're telling us that the atmospheric pressure at the surface is 0.7%. It's not even 1%. Not even 1% of Earth's atmospheric pressure. Now, we've talked about this before, so let me just refresh your memory. I have talked with you about the fact that NASA has a plan, or at least they did have a plan, it may still be on the drawing boards, to fly an airplane on Mars. At the surface of Mars, if the atmospheric pressure is not even 1% that of Earth, then it's much, much less as you move away from the surface. As you climb in altitude into the Martian sky, as the altitude goes up, the atmospheric pressure decreases. So we're talking about less than 1% at the surface. What are we talking about at 5,000 feet? Well, I would like to know, if the atmosphere on Mars is that thin, how is it and why is it that NASA uses parachutes to put landers on the surface? How does a parachute even open if you don't have more atmosphere than that? But I'm going to show you something more stunning in just a moment. We'll be back. And welcome back. All right, I was talking about this deal with the atmospheric pressure at the surface. Now, they say that NASA says that it is 0.7% 1%, not even 1%, of the atmospheric pressure at the surface of Earth. Now, is it possible that I am wrong in the things that I say about the conditions on Mars? Yeah, it's entirely possible. I've never been there. But NASA has. And NASA provides us with certain glimpses of evidence that tell us whether their statements match the evidence. So let's take a look at something here. Let's take a look at one of their plans. One of their plans happened to be this. That is an artist's conception of a plane that was to be flown over Mars. Now, in 1998, the Malin Space Science Systems, Orbital Sciences Corporation, the Naval Research Laboratory, and NASA's Ames Research Center proposed a mission formerly known as the Mars Airborne Geophysical Explorer, or MAGE, M-A-G-E, to send an airplane dubbed the Kitty Hawk to Mars to make a three-hour flight over the Valles Marineris Canyon, which, by the way, you can put the Grand Canyon on Earth, you can put that in this other canyon with lots of room left over. This flight had been planned to take place December the 17th, 2003. The proposal was submitted to NASA's Discovery Program and was not selected during the competition for the Discovery Program missions. However, NASA included a stripped-down version of the Mars airplane as the first in a series of planned micro-missions to Mars in its fiscal 2000 budget proposal, which they unveiled at a press conference on Monday, February the 1st, 1999. So this smaller airplane with fewer instruments would have flown across Valles Marineris, the canyon, for about 30 minutes. And again, it was planned for December 17th, 2003. Now, subsequently, NASA staged a competition between several NASA centers, including Ames Research Center, but also including the Jet Propulsion Laboratory and Langley Research Center. The competition was to see who was going to lead this mission, the one you're looking at if you're watching our internet TV station. And Langley was selected. But then the Mars airplane was eventually dropped as the first Mars micro mission in favor of a Mars communication satellite proposed by NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. So you might say, okay, so a bunch of guys talked about it. No, it was more than that. This was proposed by some top space science companies and agencies. Malin Space Science, Orbital Sciences Corporation, Naval Research Laboratory, and NASA's Ames Research Center proposed this. And you're looking at a mock-up or an artist's conception of what Ames Research Center said could be built to fly on Mars. Now, this was proposed. NASA accepted it. NASA put it into their budget. Later, they took it out because they wanted to do something else, put a communication satellite up there. But if NASA knew that there was less than 1% air atmospheric pressure at the surface, don't you think they would know that a prop plane like that with wings and flaps would not work? Well, it went even further than that. Here's how far it went. This is a mock-up, or not actually a mock-up. This is an actual model, a scaled-down model, working model of the airframe for what they were actually going to deploy. These are test models. These were test flown. if NASA knows that the atmospheric pressure at the surface is less than 1%, how do you think they would propose to fly an airplane? That's a little puzzling, don't you think? In order for an airplane to work, you have to have air. You've got to have atmosphere sufficient to flow over those wings to create lift. You have to have atmosphere thick enough for that prop to bite into. Or for a jet, if they used a jet engine or a rocket engine, for it to push against. So here is yet another little ditty where I'm not saying NASA's lying. I'm not implying that they are. I am saying it appears to me they know something about the atmosphere on Mars that's not published. And I think what they know is it is a lot thicker than 0.7%, because if it wasn't, they never would have proposed to fly an airplane. If they didn't know that there was more atmosphere than that, they never would have put that in their budget. And they did put it in their budget. That was a real NASA mission. That it got scrapped. But if they knew that there was not sufficient air to fly an airplane, that never would have gone in the budget. It never would have been a mission. All right, let's move on to the subject of UFOs. People say that NASA tries to cover up UFOs. And on this one, NASA has me completely baffled. They have me completely confused as to what their intentions are. Sometimes they appear to be trying to cover something up. At other times, they put the information right out on the table, but they do it with language that sort of makes it fuzzy, and you're not, you know, you got to pay attention to what they said. I want to show you something. You've heard me talk about this, and I want to show it to you. This is a statement that I reported on 2 years ago. This is on NASA's website. I have the link down there, and it says this. During several space missions, NASA astronauts have reported phenomena not immediately explainable. However, in every instance, NASA determined that the observations could not be termed abnormal in the space environment. Now let's analyze the language. During several space missions, NASA astronauts now, that's clear enough. We're not talking about, some guy down on the street who's been drunk for 4 days. We're talking about NASA astronauts have reported phenomena not immediately explainable. That means it's unknown. Now, it's up in space with them, therefore it's flying. So it's an unidentified flying something. And it says here, in every instance, NASA has determined that the observations could not be termed abnormal in the space environment. Here is what that says. Look, it says it in a negative, turn it to a positive. If it's not abnormal, then it is normal. So we can't explain it. We don't know what it is, but that's normal in the space environment. It's normal to see UFOs in space. Now, again, I simply copied and pasted. This is right off of their site. I checked it today. It's there. That's where this came from, all right? So if we think about this for a little bit, what we have to come to the conclusion is NASA just admitted with that statement, astronauts have seen UFOs, and that's normal in space. That's what that statement says. Now, I don't know if that's what they meant to say, but that is what the statement actually says. Think about we'll take another look at it. And you decide for yourself. During several space missions, NASA astronauts have reported phenomena not immediately explainable. And these are people who know more about what's going on in space than anybody else. And this is not explainable. So it's an unknown. However, in every instance, NASA has determined that the observations could not be termed abnormal in the space environment. Or, in every instance, NASA determined that these observations are normal in the space environment. If they're not abnormal, they are normal. So here we have a statement where it appears NASA is admitting the reality of UFOs. But then sometimes they do something strange. Watch this video, and for those on the radio, I'll sort of try here to narrate what we're looking at, and you will get to hear it, okay? So what we're going to see, this is STS-115, all right? STS-115 is the Atlantis. The astronauts have spotted three UFOs, and they have them on their video camera. They're talking to the NASA controller. Then you have, on NASA TV, you have someone appointed by NASA to kind of narrate what you're looking at. And in this case, it's a female, and she tries to get the astronauts to say, she starts out by saying these are reflections on the camera lens. And then the actual NASA controller says to the astronauts, can you confirm that there's one object moving and the rest of that's reflections? And you'll hear the astronaut not buy it. The astronaut says, no, these are three objects. Pretty interesting, okay? So let's go ahead and take a look at that.
The instrumentation communications officer here in Mission Control operating the Payload Bay cameras. With the reflections in the camera lens as it looks past the Space Shuttle Atlantis.
Digital downlink.
We do see that.
Okay. That's looking out in front of the orbiter.
Okay, we're seeing three or four objects. Can you confirm that it's just the one that's actually moving? The other ones are just reflections?
No, there are three objects. The one you see two rings right there. They're bottom. That was the one we initially saw that appeared to be foil. So we've got like two rings and then the piece of foil. The piece of foil seems to be further in front with the grounding strap on. It seems to be further in front of the other two, and the other two seem to be about the same equidistant from both us and the polar one.
Copy that.
All right, that's it. We have to take a break. We'll be back right after this break, so don't go away. Welcome back. Now, what we've just seen and heard was STS-15, the Atlantis, and they had the cameras checking for damage on the spaceship and so forth, and they pointed them out in front of the orbiter, and what they saw were three objects. Now, we heard the NASA narrator, the female voice, tell us that those are reflections off the camera lens. Within seconds, we hear the astronaut say, in response to a question about are those reflections, he says, no, those are three objects. So the cover story of the reflection was set up. The astronaut didn't follow the lead, blew the cover story, And then later, if we had continued watching, we'll hear her say that they have the camera trained on objects observed. She changed her story. All right. So this is a case here where you have exactly what I've described, which is an obvious ongoing attempt to cover the fact that there are UFOs, but they're not really very good at it. And partially, I think it is because you've got a lot of astronauts who are very truthful and just don't want to lie. And can you confirm that those are reflections? No, those are three objects. And so the cover was blown. Here's the deal. When you tune into this show, you hear me say things sometimes that to you, because maybe you've not been exposed to it, it sounds like it's really off the wall. Well, just keep in mind that if I make a statement of fact, it is a fact. And it's backed with evidence. Okay? If I make a statement that is an opinion, I tell you that it's an opinion. And I've done that here today. I'll tell you, you know, I think it's this, or my opinion is this. It seems this way. But it's, you know, it seems to me that they tried to set up a cover story and that the astronaut didn't buy into it. But not only does it seem that way, I can tell you that's what happened because you just saw and heard the actual event. So there's a difference between statements of fact and opinions. When I state an opinion, I tell you that's what it is. When I tell you that it's a statement of fact, and I state it as a fact, there's evidence. I didn't make it up. And everything I've shown you here today has been NASA's own evidence. With the exception of one picture. One picture, the one of the models, the scale models of the airplane, the actual flyable scale models, that was not a picture from NASA's website. Everything else has been NASA, okay? The other airplane, the Artist Conception, is from Ames Research Center's site, and that is Ames Research Center is NASA's. Okay, so, but this is their own evidence. Their own evidence is evidence that says what you're hearing us say doesn't match what the pictures show. Now, some of you would want me to say, well, you see, there's the proof NASA's lying. Sometimes we might need to walk a little bit more in a gray area. Now, sometimes maybe there are outright lies by NASA, but sometimes we might need to walk in a little bit more of a gray area. A gray area that is created by restrictions, rules, regulations, and laws that say they can't give you outright information of extraterrestrial existence. And so NASA words things in a way where it's not a lie, but you really have to think about it. You have to look at what they said and analyze it in order to see the truth. As evidence of that, I want to go back to their statement about UFOs not being abnormal. During several space missions, NASA astronauts have reported phenomena not immediately explainable. So they're not saying the astronauts have reported UFOs, which in fact they have. They have actually used that term, and we have recordings of it. They have used the term alien spacecraft. I'll play one of those for you in just a moment. But in this article written and published on NASA's website, they did not use the term UFO or unidentified flying object, but they used other words that say the same thing, phenomena not immediately explainable. It's an unknown. However, in every instance, NASA determined that the observations could not be termed abnormal in the space environment. In other words, NASA determined that is normal in the space environment. Astronauts have reported UFOs, and NASA has determined that's normal. Again, it is possible that that is not what they intended to say, but that is what they said. And that's on their website. As I said, I copied that and pasted it today. Now, it's been up there a long time. I've been talking about that statement for 2 years. It may have been up longer. I didn't even notice the date that that was published. I should have done that. But the point is, sometimes I think NASA is telling us the truth. But they're doing it in a way, they're doing it with words that you really have to think about before you determine what is it that they said. I don't want to run out of time here, and I told you I would play this. This is, let me see, who is this? This is a recording of Discovery. I'm not sure which mission, but this is Discovery talking with Houston. This is the space shuttle.
Houston, this is Discovery. We still have the alien spacecraft under observance.
All right. I want to do that again. I want you to hear it. He says, Houston, this is Discovery. We still have the alien spacecraft under observance.
Houston, this is Discovery. We still have the alien spacecraft under observance.
All right, that was picked up by a ham operator. It used to be NASA didn't scramble their communications. Ham operators could pick up the communications between the spaceships and Houston. And it was not illegal, and that's what that is. That was picked up by a ham operator. And we have reports of other conversations that were heard by ham operators, particularly one where Apollo 11, I think it was 11, the astronaut is talking about there are spaceships lined up on the rim of that crater. Now, we don't have a recording of that, but here's one where we don't have to just go on the transcript of what ham operators heard. The ham operator actually was recording and recorded that conversation, and there you have it.
Houston, this is Discovery. We still have the alien spacecraft under observance.
All right. So as I said, we might need to walk in a little bit more of, shades of gray. Instead of saying NASA's lying, well, maybe we ought to say, you know what, they're forced to kind of cover this, but they are getting information to us if we'll pay attention. If we pay attention to what's going on, I mean really pay attention to what's going on, the information's coming out. If we pay attention, the information is coming out. How much clearer could that be? We still have the alien spacecraft under observance. How much clearer could it be than that video that I showed you of STS-115? And NASA first puts it out that those are reflections off the lens, and the astronaut says, no, those are three objects. It's not reflections. Those are three objects. And right at the end, one of them is blinking. So these are not ice crystals. Those are three objects that the astronauts are observing. So it gets out there. NASA, you see, those were not live videos. That was on NASA TV. It was recorded, and then it was on NASA TV. Just preceding a press conference, the daily press conference, for STS-115. And so there it was. You got to see it. You got to hear it. They didn't have to put that out. It was pre-recorded. They didn't have to release it. I'm not so sure NASA's lying, but sometimes messing around with the clear truths a little bit. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I promised you, we're going to go open line. And that means that the telephones are now open. You may wish to comment about something that I've discussed here in the first hour, or you may have something else on your mind that you would like to discuss, a different topic. As long as it's not politics, it's something about the strange and unexplained. It can be ghosts, it can be space, it can be UFOs. Anything in the strange and unexplained. I'll be more than happy to hear what you've got to say. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Or if that would be a long-distance call for you, and you have to pay long-distance charges for that, use our toll-free number, 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yes, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello there, Kevin. Before I get to talking about NASA and whatnot, you're talking about the charmers. You weren't talking about Pal Talk, were you?
I'm not going to reveal who it is. It is something. You're talking about the email that I got?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to reveal who it is. It is the third one that I've gotten, which is the reason, from three different people. It's the reason that I went ahead and addressed it. But it's not something that angers me. It's not something that upsets me. I don't lose sleep over it. The world is full of prevaricators.
Mm. Well, anyway, moving along, you know, talking about NASA and, I'm not going to be as nice about them as you are, you know.
Okay.
I think you're pretty nice because you're on the radio, but, well, I'm on the radio too, but that's a different story. NASA, I have to say, I sort of take Bob Dean's and Richard C. Hoagland's view of NASA, and that they pretty much classify just about anything that doesn't fit the paradigms that they want us to know about. Because you just remember where 90% of their funding comes from and who founded NASA in the first place. And I think
it is Department of Defense. And here's the deal, though. It's one thing to say NASA uses cover stories, which is, I understand, that's a euphemism for what we normally would call a lie. However, because NASA falls under Department of Defense, they fall under a whole raft of laws about secrecy, and whether we like it or not, we elected the people that created that. Whether we like it or not, they have to exist under it. And I don't assign malicious intent to people who work at NASA. Because we the people, laid those layers of secrecy on top of them.
Well, so I guess the thing about it being a civilian agency, I guess, is not really all that accurate after all. I honestly have to think that Mars, actually from the research that I've done, is that Mars is a way station for the Anunnaki, which according to Zechariah Sitchin and other authors, that's exactly what it is. And if you really look at history, you look at a lot of the UFOs and from some of the people that I've talked to also, and a lot of research I've done, especially after we dropped the atomic bomb, I think that they reactivated the Mars base, the way station, or the halfway point between Earth and Nibiru, because when the Anunnaki would come to Earth, they'd stop off and on Mars and then come here. I think not only did we get to the attention of, what do they call them, the Nordics, we got their attention according to Bob Dean, we got the attention of the Greys. We got, and then of course we picked up the attention of the Anunnaki because I think Mr. Adolf Hitler got a hold of some of their, these ancient Sumerian, these ancient documents and figured out, let's try making these old style rockets. And I don't think there's a coincidence that today's modern rocketry and nuclear weapons are pretty much identical to those of ancient times. I think they stem directly from that ancient technology. And I think we got the attention of the Anunnaki. And they reactivated the Mars base, and that's why NASA's been very interested in Mars.
Well, that may be the case. You know, Zachariah Sitchin makes a very strong case for that. Let's not lose sight of the fact that there are people who make a very strong case as well that Zachariah Sitchin is wrong. And, you know, but he does make a good case, and he explains it well, and it may, in fact, be true. I do know this is true. I do know there's 15 times more oxygen in that atmosphere than they could account for. It was a surprise to them, and they're still publishing 0.13, even though the scientist that ran the biology science on that mission, you heard me play it. You heard him say it. We found 15 times, not 15%, 15 times more oxygen than we can account for.
Well, you know, I think a lot of those scientists at NASA think that since we don't have a couple of letters in front of our names, that they think that we're stupid and that we can't figure things out for ourselves. Because, you know, we were blessed with a sentient brain, and we can sort of, you know, connect the dots too, when we see them.
Well, my friend, it's not just the scientists at NASA. It's a whole raft, a host of people who wear PhDs that think anyone who doesn't have one is somehow not intelligent. And I've got a doctor's degree, but listen, PhD stands for piled higher and deeper.
Yeah, just like Richard C. Hoagland. I love Richard Hoagland. I love Bob Dean. I think they're some of the best minds. Richard Hoagland, NASA, never a straight answer, and I think he's absolutely right.
He might be. Thanks for the call.
All right, have a good night, Ken.
All right. All right, what's on your mind this evening? 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889, or the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. My name is Tim. I'm calling from South Carolina.
Hi, Tim.
A little off topic. I just wanted to remind your listeners of the X conference coming up. I don't know if you've had Stephen Bassett on, but
yeah, he's been on the show several times.
Say again?
He has been with us as our guest several times.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got the conference coming up in April 17th through 19th.
Outstanding. What's the website where people can go check on that?
The website is paradigmresearchgroup.org.
All righty then. Are you a first-time caller?
Say again?
Are you a first-time caller?
I am a first-time caller.
Oh, well, we'll see. We got to give you a little applause. All right. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889, or toll-free at 1-888-223-4599. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Very interesting that you would talk about the atmosphere in Mars. I don't know, maybe we'll get lucky in the next, 5 to 10 years, we'll actually be able to go over to Mars and discover all the beauty of it instead of having to look at those old red rocks with no oxygen atmosphere on the planet.
Well, I doubt I'll get to go, but I think probably there will be some humans who go in my lifetime.
Probably.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen.
I just think that, you know, NASA, as I said before a couple of days ago, last week actually, they need to fess up. There's no reason for them to keep continuing this put on about there's nothing out there in space, that Mars is completely dead, there's no life on it, there's no atmosphere, there's no water, there's no plant life. It exists. It exists.
Well, their pictures seem to say so. And there are, every once in a while, you have a scientist, a NASA scientist, who doesn't toe the mark, and he says things or she says things that bring it out into the open. I played for you Dr. Harold Klein saying we found 15 times more oxygen. Then you've got Dr. Peter Smith down in Tucson. And Dr. Smith down in Tucson, he ran the science program for the Phoenix Lander. And he's the one that said, you know what we found? We found out that dirt is just like the dirt in your backyard. You could probably grow asparagus in it. And he also is the one, he and his team are the ones who have issued this paper now showing the water droplets on the leg of the lander.
Yes.
And
I just found that fascinating when you showed that last week.
And there you go. I mean, can liquid water exist at the surface? Well, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it can't be
water in a dead atmosphere. There's no way.
No.
There's no nothing to hold the water vapor down or anything like that.
So that's exactly true.
The picture that you've shown is actual water droplets. The NASA has to start accepting the fact that we know about it.
Yeah. Like I say, you know, all of their... their statements that water cannot exist at the surface, well, that's gone because there it is. There are pictures of it, and it's their pictures. It's NASA pictures. So, Debbie, thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot, Kev. Have a good night.
All right. All right, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889, and I would love to hear from you. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don, calling from Phoenix.
Hi, Don.
How you doing tonight, bud?
Outstanding, as always.
Yeah, I'd just like to make a few comments. You mentioned to me one time I called in that I was preaching to the choir. But aren't we all kind of preaching to the choir in this area? I mean, my website preaches to the choir. Your radio show preaches to the choir. I mean, the people's attention we have to get are the masses. And I know there's been polls done out there saying that there's anywhere from 50 to 70% people believe in UFOs. But I wonder how much really that extends to. I mean, is it just they believe in UFOs as far as something they've seen on the Learning Channel or the History Channel? Are they really aware? I don't think they're aware as what we might think they are.
Well, and that's why this is not preaching to the choir. Whenever I do what I did in the first hour, and I take NASA's own statements and their own photographs, and I show you that NASA's own stuff tells that there are UFOs. And you have NASA admitting in writing that there are UFOs. You have an astronaut saying, no, that's not reflections, that's three objects. You know, there are many, 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 many people that drop into this show for the first time every night. And those who dropped in tonight for the first time saw for perhaps the first time in their life real solid evidence. These are not photographs taken by Kevin Smith, who's standing down here on the ground. You know, this is NASA's own stuff.
Yeah, I agree with you to that point. But what I'm saying is, the point I'm trying to make is I think the people tuning in already got a clue to this information.
No, I don't think so.
Open to it.
I don't think so. The last time that I mentioned about NASA having a mission to fly an airplane, one of our regular listeners, longtime listener, had not heard that. And even though I talked about it on the show before and showed those photographs before, he had missed that show.
Okay, I see what you're saying, but this may be true about the NASA situation, but what I'm saying, I'm giving a blanket statement for ufology and paranormal altogether.
Ufology, what happens, people get into you know, really, really get their heads into UFO information. And we have a natural tendency to want something faster, higher, and louder. You ride a roller coaster and it's fun. You ride it the second time, it's fun. After the 12th time, you got it memorized and it's not fun anymore. You need a bigger one.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a natural tendency to want something more spectacular. And so what happens in ufology is after a while, people start turning to things that are really bizarre for which there is very little evidence. And I think, you know, one of the things this show does is we keep bringing the evidence, the evidence, the evidence.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes we have a guest that brings us something really bizarre, but bizarre doesn't mean untrue.
Providing people have an open mind. I mean, the people who have open minds are tuning into your show or reading my website, but there is a good percentage of population their minds are just clamped down so tight they won't listen to anything unless they hear it on the 6 o'clock news. I got a neighbor, and I mentioned mm-hmm. this guy before. He uses the chuckle factor whenever I mention anything about this. And, you know, I was talking to him today, and he's saying, well, if all this is true, why ain't I hearing it on the news then? And so I don't get no place with this guy.
It's also true there were no mass graves filled with Albanians in Kosovo. Not one. Not a single one. But you heard on the news that there were up to 50,000 who had been killed. Now, what I'm telling you, there are people right now screaming, oh, he's nuts, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I beg to differ. I was there. And I know. And I also know you can go look that up in the United Nations Security Council archives online, and you'll see the report from the War Crimes Tribunal chief prosecutor. And guess what it says? What I just said.
Yeah. Well, the people I'm referring to, even a certain percentage do tune into your show that are closed-minded or go to my website, because I can tell from the polls you put up or the polls I put up, you know, their answers on those polls, they think all this is a bunch of nonsense.
Some do.
What they're doing tuning into the Kevin Smith Show, they think all this is nonsense.
Well, look, there are people, this is my speculation on this, Don. There are people that they're still living life in the land of believe. They haven't awakened to the fact that there is nothing to believe. A thing either is or it is not. And if you have to say, well, I don't know if I believe in UFOs, you're living in the land really of make believe. There's nothing to believe. A frying pan on the stove is either there or it is not. A Coke bottle in the floor is either there or it's not. A UFO is either flying across the sky or it is not. There's nothing to believe.
Yeah.
And if the evidence is presented and they still have difficulty buying the evidence, and we're talking about, like tonight, right straight from NASA, and you got some guy who can't even spell astronaut that is saying, well, I'm not sure if I really believe that. What you've got, in some cases, you've got people who have their heads in the sand. Of course, that means their rear's in the air and is easily kicked. Or you're dealing with someone who you just shook up their worldview. They're not quite ready to turn loose of that worldview, but they realize it's fiction, and they're looking. They're examining, and so they're borderline. And I remember going through that stage.
Yeah, let me make a quick comment before I cut you off here. Do you have Adobe Photoshop?
Yep.
You do?
Yep.
I get a lot of feedback here, I'm sorry. If anybody take any of NASA's pictures and open them in Adobe Photoshop and go up to... adjustments auto levels, click on auto level, and it'll bring up, it'll totally change the picture, and you'll look at that picture and say, wow, that totally looks natural now.
Mm-hmm.
It takes out all, you know, a lot of the red, it takes out the red out of the sky, makes it blue, and it's not phonying the picture any. It's making
yeah, it just returns it to the way the picture actually looked. It takes out all of the NASA artwork.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it brings it back to its natural form.
Yeah. Don, I appreciate the call.
Okay, Kevin. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. We have time probably for one call before the next break. And the telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889, or toll free at 888-223-4599. I don't think that everyone who doesn't yet buy into the reality that there are UFOs, there's really no question, that's a dead debate. Anybody still debating it is debating, that's like debating is the world flat. I mean, that's a dead debate. This is done. Stick a fork in it. It's done. The debate is over. UFOs do exist. They are reality. What we don't know is who drives them, where they come from, what their purpose is, what their intentions are. But the debate about whether they exist, that joined the Flat Earth Society. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. This is Millie.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Kevin, could I mention a website on your program?
What is it about?
Yeah, about Mars?
Yes.
Okay, there's a website, and I know you probably went there. It's called MarsAnomaly.com.
Yeah, it's a good website.
MarsAnomalyResearch.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if any of the listeners haven't gone there, they really should. This guy is amazing. He takes all these pictures from NASA, and he cleans them out and stuff, and you can see woods, you know, trees. You can see lakes. You can see things, amazing stuff that are there. And I just wanted to plug that because it's really interesting. I go there like every 2 or 3 days to check for their updates,
mm-hmm.
and it's really good. If I can say one more thing, Kevin.
Sure.
In your e-zine, somebody, I don't know if it was a man or a lady, but somebody mentioned about when I spoke to you last time,
mm-hmm.
Saying that I used to see a lot of dreams about invasions and spaceships coming down to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
He had a question. He was wondering if I also had premonitions, like if I felt like he knew when something was going to happen in the future. My answer is no. I sense like if the phone is going to ring or something like that, or I can sense if something's wrong with one of my children, but that's probably normal being a mother.
Yeah.
But
Millie, we just, the break is taking over. Do you want to hang on through the break?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. I'll listen off the line.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is Open Line Live night, and that means we'll talk about whatever the topic is that interests you the most. Now, one of the things I haven't mentioned, but this is true now each and every night, and that is if you happen not to live in the United States and you don't live in Canada, you don't want to make that international long-distance call because it's not free. Even if you call the toll-free number, you still have to pay the international toll on it. We have something just for you. You go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and you just scroll down, and you'll see where it says flash message. It's in green letters. And if you click that, you can send me a flash message. And the reason we call it flash is because when it comes in, it starts flashing on my screen over here on this monitor. And I'll read your question. I'll read your comment. If I need to comment on it, I will. I'll try to answer your question. Send me a flash message, all right? So if you're not in the United States, you're not in Canada. If you are in Canada or if you are in the United States, use our telephone number, okay? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Outstanding.
Hey, just wanted to make a quick statement here. I was watching UFO Hunters the other night on History Channel, and they had Giorgio Tsoukalos on there, and he was showing the little artifacts that they had found, and I for the life of me, can't remember the country, that looked like airplanes, little tiny airplanes.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was explaining to Bill Burns, you know, how these people could have possibly had that kind of knowledge, and nothing in nature represented what they were showing here. And they took those little models to a professional model maker out in Hollywood, California, and he designed, scaled the model up, and the thing flew. It was just phenomenal. And they had a new guy on their team who was their science skeptic, and you know, the guy watched it fly, and he still was one of those, like Don was saying, closed-minded people that just like, well, you know, I don't know. And here was like evidence right in front of him, you know, that
yeah.
This was aerodynamic, and he still refused to, you know, to kind of sink his teeth into it.
Yeah, and you know, there's nothing you can do. I mean, there are just always going to be people who, when presented with evidence that their worldview, or in this case, their cosmic view, is fiction, cannot turn loose of it. People have attached themselves to their worldview religiously, and they've attached themselves to their cosmic view religiously. Even atheists have. And once you present evidence that shakes that up and shows that that's fiction, they'll fight you over it. And, you know, it's an emotional, irrational response to the facts. That doesn't mean, when I say that, that doesn't mean that I think I've got the answers. It's just that there are a whole lot of those alleged answers out there that I can identify as fiction.
Yeah.
And so once it's identified as fiction, I don't need to look at that. I need to look at the evidence. But there are people who are so emotionally wrapped up with their own worldview and their own view of the cosmos, so emotionally attached to it, that they will argue, they'll fight, they'll spit, they'll do everything. I mean, you could present them with a live, breathing Anunnaki commander, and they would not
yeah.
They would not buy it.
Yeah, that is so true, so true. Well, hey, sir, I'll let you get going here, and it's always good hearing from you, and we appreciate the open line nights.
All right, man, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. If you're watching our internet TV channel, it's on your screen. If you're listening via radio or you're listening via computer or cell phone, let me give it to you again. 623-444-5889 or toll-free at 888-223-4599. And we'll talk about whatever is on your mind. Look, on this thing about NASA, I'm pretty hard on them when I'm presenting the evidence. I'm pretty hard on them, not calling them liars, but I'm hard about, you know, come on, guys, you said this, and then here's this evidence, your evidence. And what you're saying doesn't match what we're looking at here. Now, one of the things that I want you to notice, and caller, I'll get you in just a few seconds. Just hang in there. Look, one of the things that you already saw in that first hour, I showed you the video of STS-115. All right? With STS-115, we had a NASA narrator saying, well, there's some reflections off of the lens of the camera. We hear the NASA flight controller say, are those reflections? And we hear the astronauts say, no, those are three objects. Here's one of the things, you know, we can focus at NASA and say, okay, well, they were trying a cover-up. Well, yeah, they were. But let's focus on us a minute. How many times have I told you you've had eyes all your life? You see what you see. Now, before she said those are reflections, you were looking at those dots of light and one of them blinking and one of them flying off towards the top of the screen. And your eyes told you those are UFOs. And then she said those are reflections. What did your mind do? Well, for some people, their mind said, oh, okay, those are reflections. But when the astronaut said those are objects, what did he do? He confirmed that your eyes saw what your eyes saw, and it's that way 99% of the time. What you see is what you see. It is what it appears to be. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, interesting show. I like the whole thing about the atmosphere with Mars. I find that very interesting, and it doesn't match up to the evidence that they've been showing us.
Yeah, but you know, what's interesting is all of that evidence about the atmosphere came from NASA, even the evidence that refuted their so-called evidence.
Well, I came up with two things that I kind of researched real quick because I'm kind of curious myself.
Yeah.
Well, the first one was I was looking at elevation in relation to oxygen depletion.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's right or not, but I found on one page it said something like, 18,000 feet, you're at half the pressure of, you know, regular on land.
Mm-hmm.
So even in our own planet, it varies the higher up you go, and humans can fly, you know, in planes pretty high up without it being actually pressurized.
Well, you can only go to 10,000 feet. At 10,000 feet and beyond, you have to have oxygen.
Uh-huh.
You know, you either have to put on an oxygen mask or... the cabin has to be pressurized.
Right, but what I'm saying is the life that's developed on this planet, you know, specifically us, we can go up to, what, 5 to 10,000 feet before we need that, and those actual stats differ, you know, with the pressure the higher up you go.
Yeah, that's true. There are organisms that are alive on this planet right here on good old terra firma that if you expose them to oxygen, they die.
Well, this was the other interesting thing. When it comes to life on Mars, the one thing that I was thinking of the most was, did they say that the atmosphere is mostly carbon or nitrogen?
They said it's 95.3% carbon dioxide.
Okay, here's my kicker, and I'll hang up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't plants breed that?
Thanks. Thanks for the call. Don't plants breathe carbon dioxide? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. The telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll-free at 888-223-4599. Now, if you have a calling plan where you can make those long-distance calls without it costing you extra, please use the 623 number, 623-444-5889. If it's going to cost you money to call us, use the toll-free number. It's 888-223-4599. But did you get my point about the astronaut saying, no, those are objects. That's three objects. Did you get my point? The point being you thought they were objects. You heard her say those are reflections. You had it confirmed by the astronaut, it's objects. So it turned out to be exactly what your eyes told you they were. You may not be a trained observer. Do you know what a trained observer does? A trained observer will notice things that a person not trained to observe. He'll notice things they won't notice. He'll notice whether a gun that's pointed at him is a revolver or an automatic. He'll notice whether it appears to be a 9mm or a larger caliber, possibly a 44, 45, 40. He'll notice whether it is blued or whether it is chrome or whether it is nickel. He will notice how tall the person is that's holding the gun. He will notice the color of hair. And all of that so far, non-trained observers will also notice. But you know what he's going to notice? He's going to notice if there's scars, marks, tattoos. He's going to notice, a trained observer is going to notice if those tattoos appear to be jailhouse tattoos and are professionally done. He's going to notice jewelry. He's going to notice a tiny little scar on the guy's chin. A trained observer notices small details. But you see, you don't have to be a trained observer to be able to tell a cop, you know, a guy that was about 5'8" tall, had a gun pointed at me. He had blonde hair. He was wearing blue jeans. He had on tennis shoes and a blue pullover shirt. You don't have to be a trained observer for that. And you don't have to be a trained observer to see something in the sky and say, that's not an airplane. You've seen airplanes. You don't have to be a trained observer to see something in the sky and say, it was moving in ways that none of our airplanes can move, at least none that I know of. It wasn't banking. It was doing 90-degree turns. Airplanes don't do that. You don't have to be a trained observer to see them do that and know those are not Chinese wedding candles or flares or weather balloons. Most of the time, what your eyes see is exactly what you're looking at. In other words, your eyes don't normally play tricks on us. Your eyes do not normally deceive you. Is it possible for someone to create an illusion and that fools your eyes? Yeah, that's possible. You bet it is. But there aren't people standing around every corner playing tricks on your eyes. Most of what you see is exactly what's there. If that were not true, you could not drive a car. You couldn't walk down the street. You couldn't even, you couldn't even walk about in your house if your eyes were accustomed to playing tricks on you. You couldn't trust any of the data input that you're getting from your eyes. So it is true that most of the time, 98%, 95, 98% of the time, what you see, that's what it is. We'll continue with your telephone calls right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on final approach, but we do have time for one or two more calls. What do you think about this thing? You know, there are people that, you know, they have a different opinion about NASA than I have. I don't by any means dispute that we get a lot of fuzzy stuff out of NASA. It's sort of like this. Here's what I say about NASA. Most of the time, they show you the stuff, but the statements they make about it, usually it's like if you take a camera, single lens reflex camera, and turn the focus just a little bit out of focus, so it doesn't quite look like it should. Well, I'm not saying they do that with photographs, although I think some they probably do. I'm saying they do that with facts. They turn the focus just a little bit so that they're not lying to you, but it's a little fuzzy. And, you know, I don't dispute that. What I do say, though, is you have to realize this. You and me created the layers of secrecy that have been piled on both on the military and on NASA. And you might say, well, I had nothing to do with that. Yeah, you did. You elect the people that go up there and do it. And that's what Stephen Bassett has been working with. That's kind of the field that he's in, trying to, with ParadigmResearch.org, trying to get people on Capitol Hill to get involved with, you know, changing some of those regulations, changing some of those laws. But before we start, you know, hating NASA for lying to us, and do they use cover stories? I showed you one. I showed you one happening that the astronaut blew the cover off of. Do they use cover stories? Yeah, they do. Why? Well, ultimately, we're at fault for that because ultimately we put the people in power that made that happen. And so I'm not really sure we ought to be throwing stones at NASA for using cover stories that we said, if you don't use those, we're going to put you in prison. On the other hand, I don't think we ought to close our eyes. We ought to know that the cover stories are employed. We ought to look at everything they put out. And when you do, and when you pay attention, and when you put your mind in gear rather than your emotions on this, you see that NASA tells us a whole lot of the truth. And a lot of times, with a cover story, provides a picture that blows the cover story. I mean, it happens. And I showed you an example of that right here on this show in the first hour, that video from STS-115. I showed you a cover story in the making and an astronaut blowing it. I think probably on purpose. He just told the truth. All right, now, I also showed you, and I want to go back to this and remind you of this, I also showed you a statement that's on NASA's website. Now, this statement says, during several space missions, NASA astronauts have reported phenomena not immediately explainable. However, in every instance, NASA determined that the observations could not be termed abnormal, could not be termed abnormal in the space environment. Here is a statement that says, astronauts have reported UFOs, and they're normal in the space environment. So they used language to sort of turn the focus a little bit and made it a little bit fuzzy, but they did tell the truth there. At least I think it's the truth. I'm not ready to shut down NASA. I'm not ready to throw rocks at the people that work there. I definitely am going to call their hand on cover stories and use their own photos to show that what they just said is not the case when that happens. But understand, we require them to do that. Now, what I think we should do is double their budget. I think we ought to double NASA's budget. I mean, I've said this and said it and said it until I don't know that it really needs to be said again, but I'm going to. NASA gets $17 billion a year to do space exploration, to explore the universe, $17 billion. How much did AIG get? How much did the banks get? I mean, my question is, are we serious? Are you kidding me? We're going to bellyache about $17 billion? At the rate we're tossing money around, we can double their budget, but pass legislation that says, okay, no more cover stories, you report what you find. You tell the people what you find. Double the budget and tell them, let's get on with this. they're not very good at cover stories anyway. They may as well go out of the cover story business. They're not very good at it. So I think it's important for us to adequately fund NASA. Adequately fund them. And look, if you double their budget, $34 billion to explore the universe, that is a paltry sum. There needs to be a change in regulations. There needs to be a change in operating procedure. There needs to be a change in rules, regulations, and legislation so that it tells them, okay, from now on, you tell the people. Make it public. Tell the people what you find. Tell the truth. They'll do it. They're doing right now what your laws and regulations force them to do. They will do whatever the laws and regulations tell them they have to do. So how do you do that? Well, get in touch with Stephen Bassett. Ask him. That's the business he's in. Paradigm Research Organization. He can suggest lots of ways for that to happen and for things you can do to help it happen. I had Dr. Stephen Greer on this show several months back, and the question was asked, when do you think disclosure will take place? And Dr. Stephen Greer said disclosure's already happened. So, and it's already happening. The information's coming from all these whistleblowers, and it's already happening. But what we need is for the laws and regulations to change so that it can come officially. The information's already in front of us. The information's already there for people who are willing to look at it, willing to think about it, and not just be kind of emotional about it. Think about it. Think about it critically, rationally. And this is one of the things that we do here on this show. So this is one of the reasons that I say to folks, look, if you really want to get into this stuff, you can't find a better place to do it, because we bring people with all kinds of information, all kinds of views, and we think critically about everything that they say. Sometimes a guest says something kind of bizarre, or seems that way, but you know, sometimes they're right. Galileo was right. What he said was bizarre at the time, but he was right. Copernicus was right. Einstein was right. It was bizarre at the time. We'll be back tomorrow with some more of this interesting discussion, and I hope you'll be here to hear what our guest has to say, and then you call in with your questions and your comments. That's what this is all about. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.